Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Really productive day, a lot of different conversations about all sorts of issues, and I appreciate everyone's opinions and weighing in, and I've learned a lot, honestly, from a lot of the listeners. I do have a few things I want to go over before I hand it over to Jared for producer's picks. We do have one person who's been waiting a long time here, so let's go to the calls. Ronnie, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Oh, that's very considerate of you to squeeze me in. Thank you, Grace. Thanks
for
taking the call. You know, I think any sane person watching the Minnesota accidental shooting of Dante Wright can clearly see that that's an accident. And I think the vast majority of people have nothing but sympathy for the just incredibly intense pressure that police officers face every day, knowing that so many people are just outright calling for your death. But when I watch that video, the one thing I can't understand is that the large black police officer was just one click away from safely and securely handcuffing that suspect. And Kim Potter went over and interfered with him and actually put herself between the cuffing officer and the suspect, which is what allowed Dante Wright to try to escape in the first place. And I've watched that video so many times, and I just don't understand why she even went over there at all and didn't let her fellow officer finish the job, because she created the avenue for escape. Her incompetence created that situation. She got right between the suspect and the officer trying to cuff him and prevented him from cuffing him. And no matter how many times I watch it, I just cannot understand why she did that. And she's holding paperwork the entire time. Even when she's firing her gun, she's got paperwork in her hands. It was gross incompetence. I mean, racism had nothing to do with it, but gross incompetence, in my opinion, definitely did.
Yeah, Ronnie, I think you just put that really well, better than I could have. I agree with you. And what I keep seeing from people, we had someone on the text line say, you know, everybody makes mistakes. He made a mistake by running. She made a mistake by... But her mistake killed him. Now he's dead. He won't get to breathe ever again. He won't get to, you know... And I'm not saying he's an angel, but I don't think that that matters. I don't think that we all have to make this argument and start looking at someone's entire past history to justify gross incompetence by a police officer, which was Ronnie's whole point. Someone can have a track record or a crime record with police, and that doesn't mean that a police officer should be mixing up their taser and their gun. And Ronnie's right. You look at the video, there seems to be a lack of training. I don't think this woman's a racist. I don't think race has anything to do with it, to be honest, because I don't think anyone, after watching the last 10 years of American history, would want to be this woman today. Her life is permanently changed. And I'm not, obviously, his life is over, so that's the graver change here. But what I'm saying is, she made a mistake, because otherwise you'd have to be crazy to do that, especially with body cams and all that kind of stuff. Ronnie has a great point. I got to look into the video a little bit more. But there just seemed to be a lot of things that didn't add up, a lot of things that proper training could have helped avoid some of this disaster. Thank you for the call, Ronnie. Now, I do want to switch it up here and get into a few lighter things. I think we've all done our heavy lifting today as far as these conversations go. So let's get to, and Jared, I'm throwing this at you last minute, but I think I have enough stories for a journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
Now, this is a segment of the show where I find the most puke-worthy moments from our media. And I have to say that my cup runneth over, as always. They never fail to disappoint. And I want to start with a piece from Vanity Fair. And I believe, Jerry, now I get Vanity Fair confused with Variety a lot, but Vanity Fair was the original publication that talked about Hunter's art gallery, correct? The metal straws, the concentric circles of ink.
Yes, I believe it was.
All right, we'll have to double check on that. But I think that they have a love affair with Hunter Biden. And this woman, I got to figure out exactly who the author is here. But she wrote a piece talking about how Hunter Biden. Now, you guys probably saw Hunter Biden was on Jimmy Kimmel last week. And actually, if you want to read about it, which I know it doesn't sound great, but I put an entertaining twist on it. You can go to the Boston Herald because my story's up there. And I noticed that Jimmy Kimmel brought up Donald Trump Jr. And these two idiots had the nerve to make fun of the Trumps as if Hunter Biden is in any place to mock a former president's son. He is not. And it gets worse because according to this writer for Vanity Fair, he actually talks about it in his new memoir, Beautiful Things. And I'm going to read this to you guys. While the book largely focuses on his struggles with substance abuse and the death of his brother, Beau Biden, the younger Biden son begins by referencing Team Trump's attack on him for the work he did abroad. Quote, even as Trump's own children had pocketed millions in China and Russia, end quote. At one point, he calls out Don Jr. and Eric for getting rich solely thanks to their dad, whereas Hunter writes, quote, all right, I really got to white knuckle my way through the sentence. It's pretty bad. I've worked for someone other than my father, rose and fell on my own. While acknowledging his own privilege, quote, there's no question my last name was a coveted credential, he says. He takes aim at the ex-president's adult children for suggesting they're self-made individuals who didn't reap the benefits of their family name. Quote, do you think if any of the Trump children ever tried to get a job outside of their father's business that his name wouldn't figure into the calculation? My response has always been to work harder so that my accomplishments stand on their own, he writes. None of the Trump kids appear to have responded to the remarks so far, but surely they'll do an episode of Hannity soon. So the Vanity Fair author is obviously on Hunter's side. I find that incredible because you can say what you want about Donald Trump, but Vice President Mike Pence one time said at an event, you can't fake good kids. And I don't think there's any question that Trump has good kids. You might not like them, but they're normal. They don't have laptops floating around of pictures of them smoking crack in a bathtub.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
And yeah. there's a difference between a family business that's in the private sector for most of your adult life, as opposed to your father being a senator from when you were, three or four?
Yeah.
The Trumps, a Trump was in government for 4 years, not 47 years.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a difference.
Jared, that's a fabulous point. His father has been feeding at the public trough his whole life, and his son is just doing it in a more grandiose, less subtle way. And he has no reason to reap these benefits. I rose and fell on my own. You certainly have fallen down a couple times.
Crack, you never go back.
The rising part, I'm not so sure about. And then this one is just a small, little, funny journalism in the news. So there's a story out of, it says Republican Governors Association pounced on Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham on Tuesday following revelations of a settlement of at least $62,500 with a former campaign staffer who accused the first term Democrat of grabbing his private parts. The association, which already had put a target on the governor's back as she seeks a second term in office, dubbed the settlement a $62,500 crotch grab. Now, this is from SantaFeNewMexican.com. I have to say that this entire story is about a $62,500 crotch grab. Can I say that on the air? Is that okay? And the headlines are Republicans Governors Association pounced. They pounced, and the association, which already had put a target on the governor's back as she seeks a second term in office. At what point, and I've seen people bring this up, at what point is the story not about Republicans and our reactions to things? At what point are we getting to the root of the issues here and not talking about the external reactions from people or the pouncing and the seizing and the weaponizing? Maybe you want to, you know, stop burying the lead and start talking about the payout for sexually harassing someone. Just a thought. Just a thought. When we get back, we have more to get to. I'll keep the phone lines open, 844-500-4242. We definitely have some sound I want to get to before the end of the show. And I want to talk a little bit more about this infrastructure bill because Representative Nancy Mace, she's from South Carolina, she wrote a piece for Fox News and she broke down how much of a waste this is. And I think you guys will appreciate it. Also, I don't know if you've seen this story, Jared, but the Biden administration to put 80,000 migrants in hotels. You know how much it's going to cost per bed per night?
Isn't something like $3,200 per night or something like
that? No, $352.
Oh, okay. I knew there was a three and a two. I'm like Joe. I'm not good with numbers.
Well, Jared stays at really fancy hotels. So $352 for him is like, what's the big deal? But yeah, we'll break all that down. Pretty crazy because people were doing this math earlier and Democrats were like, oh, that's crazy. That's not the right number. Turns out it was the right number. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier. Jared, tell everyone how the Eden Pure Thunderstorm changed your life.
Unfortunately, in my life, allergies are infrastructure, and I have to deal with them forever. But the Thunderstorm unit, which Grace has in her hands right now,
is also infrastructure.
Is also infrastructure. And you just plug it into your wall. You don't have to worry about changing filters. You don't have any long cords. It's not heavy. You can take it from room to room. It's really light. But what it does is it actually ionizes the air and it cleans the air, much like thunderstorms do. That's why they call it the Thunderstorm. And you are breathing clean air, which for someone like me who has the scratchy throat, the runny nose, it's been wonderful for my allergies.
Yeah, it is a really great product. And if you cook, if you have pets, if someone in your family smokes, this is a great product to plug into the wall. And it will just clear out all the bad smells or even the stale air that you get sometimes. Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you will save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner and put code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. With the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, your problem rooms will no longer be a problem. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Great bumpers today. I'm feeling it. We might have to make the Cheers theme song a bumper, Jared. I really like that. I sing that all the time. Kamala's just late to the party on that one. We have a lot to get to right now. Just a quick reminder, if you want to go to gracecurlyshow.com and click on the store, you can get a Follinsby Inn gift certificate today. These are worth $200, and you can get one for just $100. They're 50% off. I do have to warn you, these are going very, very quickly. And once Howie Carr gets on the air at 3:05, if there are any left and he announces it, there will be none left. So make sure, if you happen to be tuning in right now, you are lucky. You should get on this today. I'm actually considering jumping on this as well, because a lot of my family members, my parents have been there, I've been there, my sister has been there, my fiance has been there. We all love it. Okay, so the White House is spending close to $352 a night to provide beds to the estimated 80,000 migrant families expected to flood the border from now until September. The contract rents out hotels in Texas and Arizona for 6.5 months, 199 days. In these hotels, 1,239 beds will be occupied by those participating in the border surge. Someone should tell the Federalists that we are not allowed to use that word anymore because of insurgents, according to AOC. With the government dubs, which the government dubs emergency family reception sites. Everything is semantics. Emergency family reception sites, which, by the way, Jared, are infrastructure. I just want you to know that.
I believe it.
This is, George Orwell had no idea. We took doublespeak and we said, hold my beer. We're going to blow your mind. After 3 days of sleeping in the hotel, migrant families who enter the country illegally will then go through a very thorough process of being let out into America. That is it. 3 days in the hotel, and then you are freed into the United States with a court date to be determined. This is James Carafano, a national security scholar at the Heritage Foundation, said, in terms of solving the problem, it's like roasting marshmallows at the scene of the fire. All that money will do nothing to bring the border under control. You know what? I'm going to reach out to the Heritage Foundation. I like that analogy. And maybe we'll get Mr. Carafano on the show. You're burning through an enormous amount of cash, which facilitates more illegal immigration. The potential risk of COVID adds to the cost. The cartels are profiting off this to buy fentanyl. It's all a great big mess. And speaking of great big messes, this infrastructure bill is also worth talking about. I know it's old news in some senses, but every time a different person breaks this down, I'm like, oh my God, this is a monstrosity. And it's all so woke. So Representative Nancy Mace, she represents South Carolina's 1st District. She said, Biden's infrastructure fiasco, Dems offering Green New Deal in sheep's clothing. I think that's being generous. Because I don't think they're trying to hide it that much. They think we're so stupid at this point. You know, it's like, why even put it in sheep's clothing? Save yourself the effort. Just send it out as it is. Everybody's going to take it and just deal with it. If they've learned anything at this point after this last year, they don't really have to put much effort into duping us. We're all big dopes. So let's just get on with it. She says 85% of the $2 trillion monstrosity has nothing to do with infrastructure. The proposal includes $20 billion to advance racial equity and environmental justice. I'm not entirely sure what that means or what the government is supposed to spend $20 billion on to make sure these vague goals are achieved, but I do know it has nothing to do with infrastructure. The plan incorporates large swaths of the socialist Green New Deal. For example, $175 billion, nearly 10% of the package, is dedicated to subsidizing electrical vehicles. Another $100 billion. We're just throwing out billions here. You notice that? It's like another $100 billion. Whatever. It's pretty soon you're talking real money. Another $100 billion is allocated to building new public schools to make school lunches greener. Michelle Obama, where are you now, girl? This is your time to shine. They want you back. There's $50 billion set aside for the National Science Foundation, and $200 billion is meant to green up and fix our power grid. The one that we just overloaded with the $174 billion in electric car subsidies. The total spending on Green New Deal style waste could end up being nearly half of the bill. Most recently, the Democrats passed the COVID relief package, in which nearly 90% of that money allocated had absolutely nothing to do with relief. Most Americans would reject these mammoth packages if they actually knew a majority of the spending goes towards advancing unrelated far left priorities. The left has proposed $7 trillion in new spending in just 1 year. Over $600 billion of your tax dollars would subsidize favored corporations and technologies rather than allowing a market to develop. Oh, boy. Joe Biden, he's here to help. We'll be back on the other side with producer's picks. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone. This is The Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Balance 7 Liquid Concentrate. Start sleeping better tonight and get the acid out of your body with Balance 7. You guys know I have bad acid reflux. That's because I love everything that you're not supposed to eat if you get acid reflux. I really do. I love soda. I love coffee. I love chocolate. I love salsa. Tomatoes and onions are pretty bad for acid reflux. And so I've always tried to find a fix. And most things are quick fixes. They don't really work long term. That was until Balance 7 came into my life. Save $10 off your first order today and receive a free bottle of their smooth skin spray with code word GRACEFREE at balance7.com. That's balance7.com, code word GRACEFREE. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Democrat luminary do you trust the least? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, or Dr. Fauci?
Dr. Fauci. Every time I see that guy, I just, I get so angry.
Dr. Fauci is pulling at 12%, a nice bump for late entry. Still, Barack Obama is in the lead at 25%, Kamala Harris at 22%, Nancy Pelosi at 21%, Joe Biden at 13%, and Chuck Schumer polling just at 7%.
Yeah, I mean, Chuck Schumer, it's, you know, he's just a joke. I mean, they're all jokes in their own way. I do want to say here really quick before I hand it over to producer's picks, David Marcus, everybody knows I'm a huge fan of his. He writes for The Federalist. He writes for The New York Post. He took a little break there for a while and I was missing his pieces, but he has one out today. It's called The Mindless Mask Regime Might Be Here to Stay Unless You Resist It. And he kind of talks about how there's this group of people who are talking now like they enjoy this and they're going to wear masks forever. Because like, well, it's helping prevent flu and it's you know, it makes me feel good and it makes me feel safe. And he talks about how that's fine. You know, it's sad. It's not really part of the culture in our history. You know, the Western culture is usually to show your face and you read people's faces. But he talks about how we can still resist it. And when you go outside, if you're not required to wear a mask, smile big, smile bright, give people a nice little smirk when you walk by. Make people realize what they're missing out on by keeping their faces covered up if they don't have to. You don't have to get in fights with anybody. You don't have to become a street fighter a la Nancy Pelosi. But be proud of the fact that if you can, if you feel safe enough and you can walk out without your mask on, do not feel ashamed about that. I certainly don't. All right, now without further ado, it's everyone's favorite part of the day. It is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
I'm hoping you guys wait for this each day because I have to be honest, I wait for it each day. Occasionally, I run across one of the stories Jared printed off on the printer and I'm like, oh, these are good. I consider stealing them, but then I go, yeah, I'll wait. So, Jared, without further ado, please take it away.
All right, we got a couple newsy items to begin Producer's Picks today. One, announced not too long ago that federal prosecutors will not bring charges against the officer who shot Ashley Babbitt during the quote-unquote insurrection on January 6th. The officer who still has yet to be identified.
I was just going to say, I would like to know who the officer is.
Right. I mean, Kim Potter's name got out there, bang, bang.
Pretty damn quick.
That was a poor choice. Kim Potter's name got out there very quickly. Why have we still not heard or found out the name of this officer who is now not going to be charged?
Yeah, and I remember after the Capitol riots, Byron York, he requested Freedom of Information Act, you can request all sorts of things. And he requested some really basic facts. And it wasn't like the day after. I think it was a good few weeks after. And some of the stuff he was requesting was like, how many cops were there? What are their names? How many weapons did you confiscate? How many people were shot? And Jared is absolutely right. When there's something that happens that fits the narrative, and I'm not saying there's things that happen that aren't true. You know, like this shooting with Kim Potter, we've acknowledged several times on today's show that she made a big mistake. But why do those details come out so fast? And the details of January 6th are yet to be open to the public. I think that's worth talking about.
Especially as we kind of know, were the only shots fired that day.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There can't be anything difficult to narrow it down. We deserve that information as the public.
Right. And it's amazing to me that like now, I don't know if people remember this, if for some reason it stuck with me, but after 9/11, Mark Wahlberg talked about, and I hope I'm getting this right, because otherwise I'll feel bad, but talked about if he had been on the plane or something like that. And it was a situation where I would have done this. And you know how tough guys are. It's like you start to play people in movies and you start to think that you're actually the characters that you play. And to talk about an event like Nancy Pelosi's, now for a long time they were saying they were terrified. It was terrible. It was, you know, the worst moment in American history, which I've said several times on the show, as has Jared, that it was bad. We don't condone what happened that day. It was a bad look for all Americans. But now she's talking about like, oh, I could have taken them. You know, like an old person at a bar with a cig smoking wine. Come at me. I would have shown you. We would have salsa'd, my friend. It's like, what? I thought this was the biggest overthrow of government we'd ever seen. And now Nancy Pelosi was capable of taking these people, of fighting them.
Round one. Fight.
I choose Nancy.
She's like, put him up. Put him up. I one time ripped up Trump's speech. One rip. She's crazy. Have some ice cream, Nance.
Yeah. Speaking of ice cream, thank you for that transition,
Can
Grace.
I say, we're in sync today, Jared.
So, you know those hippies at Ben and Jerry's? Well, anytime there's, you know, a national event like this, I always wonder, what do the guys who make, and I'm going to take hit, who make okay ice cream? Think about this. Well, Ben and Jerry's released a statement. The murder of Dante Wright is rooted in white supremacy and results from the intentional criminalization of black and brown communities. This system can't be reformed. It must be dismantled and a real system of public safety rebuilt from the ground up. Hashtag defund the police.
Yeah, I mean, this thirst from these woke corporations to get involved in politics or, you know, major stories, major news stories. It's, to me, it's just confusing because I remember this quote, and I'm not sure if Michael Jordan actually said it, but it's a quote that over the years, people, you know how that happens. People misattribute quotes and then they just, you know, take on a life of their own. People say that Michael Jordan had once said, Republicans buy sneakers too. And it was kind of his way of saying, I'm not getting political because you alienate half the consumers of your product. I always understood that. I always understood why Dolly Parton didn't talk about politics, because she likes everyone to listen to her music, which is her talent and her gift, and not feel a certain way about her as a person based off her politics. Now, Ben and Jerry's, Jared, you put it, I would say some of their ice cream is really good. I love half-baked. I'm a huge half-baked girl. I also like their mint Oreo because they put real Oreos inside of it. But I don't like it enough to be eating it and being told that, you know, you're not woke enough. You're racist. You're this, you're that, which Ben and Jerry's does all the time. I'll have my Brigham's. Now, once Brigham's does something that really frustrates me,
that will be a dark day.
Then we will have a serious problem.
Brigham's coffee ice cream is the best I've ever had. Oh my God, it's so good.
It's so good, Jared. I wish you could have seen some of the old Brigham's when they were up and running. Man.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I lived here. I went to Brigham's when I was a kid.
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Some of those stores, man.
Yep.
But all I'm saying is I can talk tough right now. I can be a street fighter against Ben and Jerry's because I have other options. But if Brigham's goes down this road, it's going to be a rocky road. Had to do it.
All right. So we got some Biden news. First Lady Dr. Jill Biden underwent a routine medical procedure today. She was accompanied by Joe. Now, we don't know if she performed this medical procedure on herself, but...
She is a Surgeon General, so...
She's a hell of a doctor, according to Whoopi.
Yes, so she could have done it if she wanted to.
She had a routine medical procedure today, and you'll notice they're not talking about the fact that the First Lady is... has some secret illness that the president is trying to keep from people, as would have happened with Melania.
Yeah, I don't know what her routine medical surgery was. I hope she's feeling good, though, and I hope that she is back in action tomorrow. Hope she's resting up. I say that sincerely, not being sarcastic.
No, absolutely. And today is International Moment of Laughter Day, April 14th, so it allows us to just play this. That was all. Just one of the reasons to note International Moment of Laughter Day and play Madame Vice President laughing at the border situation.
Well, thank you for playing that, because what I would like to do, since you gave me that segue, I was surprised Kamala Harris today was talking about the Northern Triangle countries and, you know, how she's going to fix illegal immigration. P.S. Spoiler alert. I have a feeling it's going to involve re-implementing a lot of Trump's old policies, but that's neither here nor there, okay? There's no more mean tweets and gas is through the roof, so you should just be happy with who you voted for. Now, when she mentions this, like always, she's inappropriate. You know, she never takes the situation seriously. I talk about that sometimes on the show. You know, let's say we're talking about Dante Wright. That's a young man who died. Whether or not you agree with my take on it or not, it's a serious issue. It's a grave situation. So I handle it. I try to handle it in that way. She's talking about serious issues, and she cannot help herself but to make them so frivolous and so strange for everyone listening. Now, the only part of this cut that surprises me when she makes her reference to Cheers, and I think she was close. I think someone must have told her, you got to stop nervous laughing. So she makes this joke. It bombs. No one laughs. But she holds back, Jared. Notice that. She doesn't let out a, let's play it.
They don't want to leave the place where their grandparents lived. They don't want to leave the place where they are familiar with the culture and the language. You know, to use a phrase from an old television show, Cheers, you know, where everybody knows your name. Most people don't want to leave home.
I'm shocked she didn't laugh more at that. Because she laughed at, like, parents who want their kids back in school. And she laughed when they asked her if she was visiting the border. She really belly laughed at that. So at her own jokes, she is not opposed to cracking up. So when she dropped that line about Cheers, I would have thought for sure she'd give herself a few. Just saying.
And on this day, 1865, President Abraham Lincoln is assassinated at the Ford Theater in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow. Very interesting.
Yes.
Thank you for that fact. Are we done with producer's picks?
We are done with producer's picks.
All right, guys. Well, since I was in my early 20s, I told you about this. I've struggled with acid reflux. What can I say? I love fried food. I love ice cream. I was just talking about Brigham's in this last segment. All of that stuff can really contribute to heartburn, to acid reflux, and to just not feeling that great. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Grace, stop eating it. Hell no. I will never stop eating ice cream. I will never stop consuming coffee every single day. So what I did was I started taking Balance 7, and I got to tell you, I've tried a lot of things. Nothing has worked like this. It's your one-stop shopping to help increase your energy levels, aid in digestion, heartburn, and so much more. Check out Balance7.com and learn why balancing your immune system is so important for the performance of your body. Simply drink a total of 3 ounces a day, and within 72 hours, most people begin to have more energy, greater clarity of thought, and just feel healthier overall. Order your 1 month supply at balance7.com. Use code word GRACEFREE to save $10 off your first order and get free shipping. Be one of the first 50 to purchase Balance 7 and receive smooth skin, an exfoliant and deep cleansing skin conditioner valued at $13.99, but you will get it for free. Now, one last time, if you struggle with heartburn or acid reflux, or you're just not feeling great, you need a little clarity and you want to feel good every day, well, I can tell you that nothing you're trying compares to Balance 7. Order now, receive $10 off your first order of a 30-day supply, free shipping, and a chance to receive smooth skin. And that is balance7.com, code word grace-free. Now, when we get back, we will be talking to Howie Carr, and we might be playing the Cheers theme song one more time, just for good measure. This is the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Bam, 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 bam.
And they're always glad you came.
Always glad you came.
You wanna be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same.
You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
That's an underrated theme song as far as TV shows go. And for once, I have something in common with Kamala Harris. We both enjoy a little bit of Cheers. Guys, it is now time for the Carr crossover. Howie Carr, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Personally, Grace, I've always thought there's a lot to be said for going someplace where nobody knows your name.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Witness Protection Program Bar and Grill.
Yeah, I do see your point of view. Sometimes you want to go somewhere where no one knows your name because you just want to eat and you don't want to talk to anyone. But sometimes it's nice to have a haunt that you like to go to.
When I started out in TV, I had a few bad nights on my live shots on the 11. And, I would go for lunch to a place where everybody knew my name. And, sometimes the first thing they'd say to me was, boy, did you suck on that 11 o'clock live shot last night.
The cold sore on your face was really something, man.
That was the news director who was talking about the cold sore.
Can you tell everyone that story? That's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, one time I came in, I just broken a big story at the State House, and I just walked down. And the guy, he wanted to, as soon as I walked in, he wanted to see me. So the news director takes me to the office. He says, I don't want you to ever look like you look so bad. And he points, it was Steve Nelson who was still playing for the Patriots. And it was a Monday, and he was like he was all bloody and sweaty. And and he said, you look worse than Nelson on that live shot. You take as many days off as you want if you ever have a cold sore like that. And I said, well, how was the story? And of course, he had no idea.
I was too distracted by that monstrosity on your face. Howie, nowadays you could sue for that kind of harassment. That's cold sorest.
How about my dark beardism? I was a victim of that. They told me that I had light skin, but a dark Irish beard, and they said we're going to have to do something about this. And I said, I'm not getting electrolysis if that's what you mean.
And you know what's crazy, Howie?
What?
The stress of that caused you to go blonde.
Right. And now my dark beard is no longer a problem. I can not shave for 3 or 4 days and you can barely tell that I didn't shave.
All right. Now, Howie, I have to read you this tweet. I haven't been able to get to it today, but I think you'll enjoy it. It went viral because this woman, Sarah Jane Glynn, she wrote, many of us are getting vaccinated and will be seeing extended family for the first time in a long time soon. There will be a desire to avoid hard conversations since you've missed them. Don't do it. Start preparing now to call out your racist relatives. There are no excuses.
You see what I mean about the Witness Protection Cafe?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to have a Thanksgiving dinner by oneself. I've done that in the past. I had one at the South End House of Pizza. I ordered a turkey pizza to go.
See, normally I would say my normal reaction to that would be that is the saddest thing I've ever heard. But because I know how much you would enjoy that, that solace, I'm so happy for you. It's probably one of your favorite Thanksgivings of all time.
That's why I remember it after all these years.
All right, Howie, what can people expect on your show today?
We have Tom Homans at 4:30 talking about the border.
Oh, nice.
And we have all kinds of other stuff. More Biden nonsense and Baker nonsense, the usual stuff. And we'll be talking about the Project Veritas audio that you got into.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Howie. Guys, don't miss it. I'll be back tomorrow. This is the Grace Curley Show.